Rebel Room post-game edition, special edition here, three-man booth. This is Taylor Byrne alongside Las Vegas Sun sports editor Ray Brewer, and expert of all things, I don't know, MMA, betting, tonight UNLV and Mountain West, Case Kiefer. Nice to have you joining us.
Yeah, there's a, I know you were probably wanting to bring this up, but I will now. There's a great symmetry that's going on tonight, because the last time I was in this podcast studio with you, it was two Rebel home games ago, maybe. And you started talking about Cliff Bars, and I had no idea what they were. And now I'm eating one as we speak, finishing
enjoying it off the last bite.
And I love them. They've changed my life.
And you haven't even gotten into the peanut butter ones yet. So
I've had one peanut butter one.
Okay. It's just a hearty meal. That's all I'm saying. I know it's meant to be a hearty meal, but for a power bar to hold you over, I think it's just too heavy on your stomach.
It's to fuel you up, and I unfortunately have had multiple days where I eat like five or six. It's not a good thing.
I mean, that's like 13. I don't want to get away from the game, but that's like 1,300 calories worth of Cliff Bars.
I could use the calories.
Time out.
I put on 100 pounds with that.
I think they're great. They taste great, but the thing I don't get is I don't think they're heavy on the stomach. I don't know where you're coming from.
For me, they taste like cardboard with peanut butter on top.
You know who else doesn't think that they're heavy on the stomach? Mike Moser.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't like this?
No, he loves it.
Oh, he does?
They're not heavy. He could. I actually have no idea his opinion of Cliff Bars, but I'm probably going to ask him now.
It's
I'm
a great
curious.
Segue. Listen, Mike Moser, I saw him be great real early in the season. So great.
Santa Barbara,
North Carolina. So great that there was talks, legitimate talks, about this kid possibly leaving after 1 year to go to the NBA. National Player of the Year.
Yeah, 1 year at UNLV. He's a, you know, basically a third-year college guy with the red shirt.
Okay.
So it's not like he's 18.
Yeah. Nonetheless, 2 years eligibility remaining if he would have left. We kind of lost that Mike magic for maybe six or seven games, arguably. Well, it's back, baby.
Oh, yeah.
He was draining those two threes he drained there in the first half, and that coast-to-coast drive where he came through and hammered it home. That's the Mike Moser. When he's on like that and when Stanback isn't limping around, the 1-2 punch, I think they're a good Sweet 16 team. If both of those guys are doing what they could do, Stanback draining that three early on, even though he only finished with 8 points, and he was not spectacular by any means. But if Moser's like that, it frees up Belfield and Marshall to make their mistakes. In my humble opinion, Rebels win, by the way, by 8 points. Ugly, very ugly. See you in New Mexico tomorrow.
Yeah, it was the same old story for UNLV with a 22-point lead and got down to 6 for Wyoming. What you were talking about with Mike, I think the biggest advantage that UNLV would have when he's playing like that not only opens the game for Marshall and Belfield to make mistakes, but I think it just opens the game for them, period. You know, in the second half, I talked to Mike after the game, and he said he was more of a decoy, just trying to – you look very satisfied with that Yoplait light right now.
Not heavy on the stomach.
No, not light. At all. Probably only like 80 or 90 calories.
100 calories.
Okay.
I had some string cheese as well.
But Mike was just sort of a, like you said, a decoy, which allowed Marshall to get in there. Which allowed Belfield to get into the lane a little bit. Stanback had, I think, all of his 8 points in the first half was really a non-factor kind of the rest of the way. He scored the first points of the game, which is usually a great indication. I ran the numbers earlier this year that he's going to have the three goggles, the throggles, if you will. But just kind of a silent night from him. But I think the main story besides Moser is the UNLV defense coming out of this game. Right, Case?
Yeah, the UNLV defense. Actually, what I'm going to be writing about on LasVegasSun.com, which you're already on the website if you're listening to this podcast. Yeah, I mean, the defense, look, Wyoming said, you know, we missed a lot of shots. We had some open looks, but they went 3-for-24 in the first half. You have to be doing something right defensively. This team isn't a bad team from the floor normally. They can shoot. So I do think that was the biggest thing I took out of it, was a lot of stuff just wasn't on for UNLV. I don't know. They didn't look particularly fired up at stretches. They weren't making some shots. But defensively, with the exception of maybe a few minute lapses, they looked pretty good all night.
Coach Dave Rice said no open looks in the first half. So conflicting. Who do you want to believe, Case? Who do you think is – More true.
Well, to be totally honest, I couldn't even have named the Wyoming coach until tonight. So I'll probably go with Dave Rice. And I don't think I can name him now, actually. That sounds really bad. I just lost my credibility.
Larry Scheidt.
Here's my theory, sure, and I don't know much about much, but this was
Do you know much about mulch?
This is the fourth game of the day, right?
That's correct.
And I saw players from both teams there during the second game of the day. I just think the hype of the tournament, and I think these guys might have been a little tired going into this game. I know it's a theory that a lot of people might not see, but you got to imagine, I mean, if you're seeing guys walking around the arena at 2 and they don't play till 8:30, and then it's just brick after brick and lit on the rim and ugly basketball, great defense, sure, maybe. But I just think that it was a matter of, you're playing that 8:30 game, which is an hour and a half after you usually play. I think the players are just tired.
Yeah, I mean, I agree they could be tired, but come on, you can't say great defense maybe. When Wyoming, they've played, what, 32 games now? They've never shot 29% from the floor. 3 for 24, I mean, that's saying something.
3 for 24.
I don't have a whole lot of good things to say about the Rebels for this performance. I still feel like they don't look as good as they did at the beginning of the year. A lot of things are wrong. But defensively, I don't think there's hardly anything you can say negatively.
You mentioned being tired, and that's something just in tweets back and forth with fans and even just talking to guys on press row that, you know, kind of looking at the rotation that Rice used in this game. He didn't want to go 10 deep. That's what he said after the game. So that's why Reggie didn't play for the second game in a row. Lowe's only gets 6, 8 for Q. Just, you know, heavy on Mike and Marshall, which is, you know, kind of what you'd expect when they're playing as well. But for 3 games in 3 days kind of thing, you're going to need some more minutes from either the big guys or Kendall coming in. You know, the legs aren't going to be there. And if you're going to try and take down basically, you know, New Mexico and most likely San Diego State in the next 2 days, gonna have to rely on them for some stretch. They're going to have to take over.
Okay, here's the deal. Case had a good point. UNLV clearly not the team we fell in love with early in the season. Okay, they're 6-4 since February 1st. Clearly, those games they lost, they were on the road, but still, they're not clicking. They can't hold the lead to save their lives. I think we agree on that. What are they doing differently now, or what did they do better then, or was a hot start and the excitement of Dave Rice, you know, and the link to Tark, just everybody got on the bandwagon so quick that they just exceeded expectations and they look great with makeup on, and now it's kind of more of a reality. What do you think?
Well, I mean, let's not forget, this is still a, you know, first-year head coach, not only at this place, but never been a head coach before. Yeah, if they lose out, they've still exceeded expectations.
If they lose out, in my opinion, it's...
From what there was at the very beginning of the year, can you honestly say that a first-round NCAA loss is, like, earth-shattering?
If they lose tomorrow to Mexico, which is very possible, New Mexico's playing good right now, and they'll have more fans there.
When you put your hand up like that, I feel like I'm supposed to high-five you.
High-five me, kid. All right, here we go. If they lose tomorrow to New Mexico, say they get a 6 or 7 seed, and they lose in the first round of the tournament, I deem it as a failure. Maybe I'm too hard.
It's a failure, but when you're talking about like the expectations, a 6 or 7 seed, if I had told you that in October, that's a good year.
It's a good year, but when you start 9-0 and you knock off North Carolina and you have that great win at Santa Barbara and you're 11 and you're almost in the top 10, now you tell me you lose in the semis of your league tournament and you're bouncing the first round of the NCAAs. You're like, what happened? Did Mosier quit the team? Did Stanback break his leg? Did Bryce have to shoot free throws the entire second half? You got to try to figure out, well, what went wrong. I mean, to me, 9-0, I'm thinking Sweet 16, baby, maybe Elite 8. I think everybody was thinking that, right, Case? Weren't you thinking?
I definitely agree with you. I remember on our radio show, Mondays on KUMV, I'm not sure about the times, I think it's moving, but anyway,
might be
just
Tuesday
keep up.
Now,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I remember deeming after the North Carolina win and maybe after the Santa Barbara win that if they didn't make the Sweet 16, it was going to be really disappointing. Just because of the way they looked, Maybe they're just settling. I mean, maybe they got hot. There's a lot of different reasons at the beginning of the season. I mean, these guys have played with each other a long time. They probably gelled before other teams. I don't really know the reasons. But I think if you look back to the very beginning of the year, maybe they're more along the lines of what we would have thought at the beginning of the year. But if you look in the middle of the year after they beat North Carolina, I think where they are right now might be a little bit of a disappointment. So I kind of think you're both right.
I agree. When I came in, I thought this is definitely a Sweet 16 team. But I'm talking about there's always a difference between, you know, looking at expectations from the preseason versus the highs or lows of a particular year. So I think it's unfair to just point at where they were when they were at their highest and say this is a failure.
Yeah, here's my thing. I think from the preseason, if you would have asked UNLV fans what is a successful year, and Brewer might know better than me. I think he communicates with the fans a little bit more. He's been in the community longer. But I think at the beginning of the year, people would have said making the NCAA tournament as a 6 or 7 seed and winning a game would be a good year. I never think losing in the first round people would have been happy with. I think the Sweet 16, it turned into what people are kind of seeing as the promised land.
Well, the thing is that the community is so desperate for a winner. You know, Vegas doesn't have any pro sports teams. UNLV is the one show in town that people get fired up for. And the glory days, you guys weren't here. You probably weren't even born.
Weren't even born?
I don't know. What do you guys?
We were 3 and 4.
It was just a glorious time in Las Vegas. Fun time to go to the games. Sell out every night. Rocking and rolling. And people were desperate for that to return. And then you beat North Carolina. You're running and gunning up the court. You're scoring 90-some points a game. Everything looks great. Now, here's the one thing. Sweet 16 in 2 weeks. I'm guessing we're watching the game together at GVR.
I agree with that.
I'll be stunned if you are actually at GVR watching a game.
Well, with you guys, why not? Yeah.
But I agree with the premise, I think is what you're getting at, that UNLV will not be in the Sweet 16. I mean, it all depends on matchups, of course. But as of right now, I mean, I just don't see it. I don't think they're playing well enough.
Now, I wouldn't have seen in 2007 when they went to the Sweet 16, I wouldn't have seen it either. But they got a great matchup in the first round. They beat Georgia Tech. And then they had Wisconsin's number. They handled it to them, and they went through to the Sweet 16. It's all who's hot. Anybody could get hot in the tournament. You guys know that.
So hot right now.
Yeah, but nonetheless, UNLV tomorrow, New Mexico. Obviously they've split this year, but you got to go back to the game at the Pit in that ugly second half. I think they scored, 17 points in the second half that day? Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was right. It might have been 19, maybe.
There was a little bit of a drought. Here's my question. Is New Mexico going to continue that same defensive effort and, you know, just take it to UNLV? Or is the fact that UNLV's on that, you know, sacred Thomas and Mack court, even though it's not the court. I know. But the fact that they're in Las Vegas and the air seems to be different, or clearly is with the altitude, is something going to change tomorrow? Because I think UNLV is going to be a 6-point favorite, and I'm thinking about betting the old paycheck Aruski on the Lobos.
Six-point favorite?
Hey, why don't you just come to me for that action then, so you won't have to pay juice, because I love UNLV tomorrow night.
Give me 6?
Yeah. Well, no. I think it's going to be 4 or 5. I'd actually be surprised if it's 6.
Yeah, I think probably 4.5.
Look, I like UNLV in this game tomorrow night. Like I said, I didn't see a lot of fire out of them tonight, and I think they're going to be a lot more fired up for this game. New Mexico tonight wasn't that impressive either. I mean, they won by 15, but they didn't do a whole lot to make me believe. So I think UNLV playing at home, if you look at the 4 halves they played this year, UNLV looked like the better team in 3 of them. Did they look terrible in 1 half? Yes. But I like the Rebels in this game. So go ahead and give me a call tomorrow. You won't have to pay the juice.
Yeah, and when you talk about motivation too, the Rebels said, you know, that second half is still very much at the forefront of their minds, as it should be when you just kind of get your rear end handed to you like that. They were embarrassed. That was, you know, a blown chance to take over first place of the league, and just kind of things slipped away from them in that game. And back in their home center, not on their home court, but they're definitely going to be a lot, very motivated to play the Lobos, and should have a lot more fire than they showed in the opening minutes against Wyoming, which was just, you know, kind of set basketball back a little ways until Mike Moser decided to remember how good he is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that first half, I was actually at the press conference of the New Mexico game, so I didn't get to watch a lot of it. But as I understand, that was a good thing.
You came in with
it was just really ugly.
8 minutes in, and the score was 5-4.
5-4, right. And Brewer is looking diligently for the UNLV line. I'm almost sure it's not up anywhere, because I have a thing on my phone that says if it's up anywhere, and it's not. But I'm telling you, Ray, it's going to –
thanks for the effort, as I've gone on three websites.
We
it's going to be 4 or 5. You got to trust me, 4 or 5.
Oh, okay, Godfather.
Dude, well, I'm just saying it was reported on LasVegasSun.com today.
Okay,
maybe you and I didn't read the article, but it said they'd be 4 or 5. It could get bumped up to 6.
I'm just telling you right now that
after the way they butchered that second half, I don't think there's any way it's 6.
For Taylor Byrne, for Case Kiefer, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Win, lose, or draw
Can we get one last thing?
Go ahead.
We're clearly split on this. You like New Mexico tomorrow. It sounds like to win straight up even. I like UNLV tomorrow. Why don't we have the expert break our tie? Taylor, who wins this game tomorrow night?
Oh.
Are you going to be like Herb Street and you can't pick? Because
oh, no. Not at all. My gut instinct is UNLV. And that's really not based on a whole lot besides, you know, playing in Las Vegas and the fact that I think – what Mike Moser showed tonight.
Who's that guy from New Mexico that wears 32?
That would be Drew Gordon.
Is he any good still?
I believe he is.
Okay, yes. Just double
check. He threw a fit at the press conference. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, the fact that he was slighted as the player of the year.
Oh, he's motivated too, baby. I love New Mexico.
See, but
tomorrow.
He didn't sound motivated. He sounded like he was complaining.
He sounded kind of bitter and just very, very childish about it.
Well,
Mike Moser took his loss in stride.
Well, he didn't deserve to. He played. He had a 6 games that were very unworthy. 1 of 10.
He played.
He was 1 of 10 against Drew.
He played his way out of it.
Agreed. Yes. Speaking of playing our way out of this, who do you like tomorrow?
UNLV.
Who do you like tomorrow, sir?
UNLV by 8-10.
Oh, I'll take that action all night, baby. For Case, for Taylor, I'm Ray. Talk to you tomorrow.
Let's get some Cliff Bars.